Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. I'm a one-man car today. Eddie's out there doing some apostolic work. My name is Jesse Romero. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we talk about spiritual warfare, Catholic style. Let's start off with the St. Michael the Archangel prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. And here's a prayer from St. Anthony of Padua to pray against evil and evil spirits and to pray against temptation. He says this: Behold the cross of the Lord. Be gone, all you evil spirits. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered you. Amen. Alleluia. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the things that concerns me as an adult Catholic, I would consider myself an elder in the Catholic Church. Okay? That means that all that means is just I'm older than most of you. That's all that means. Okay? And the fact is, because I got more time on earth, and probably also the fact that I've been practicing my faith for about 30 years, I see things differently. I see the world differently. And one of the things that concerns me is the way Satanism is being normalized, and there's actually Satanism is being used to seduct America's youth. There's an article here that I have. It's called How Children Learn About Satan, Rome's Former Chief Exorcist Answers. So Father Gabriel Amorth, he was asked by a Catholic nun, how do we as Catholic adult teachers and parents talk about the diabolical, talk about the devil to our children? So the article goes like this, then I'll make some of my own commentaries. Okay, it says, first of all, here's what I want. Just need to say, this is my two cents. We have to teach our kids that spiritual warfare is not demon-centered, it's Christ-centered. That's first and foremost. But the article says, this is really interesting, Sister Helena Burns of the Daughters of St. Paul explained in a recent tweet how parents should teach children about Satan. According to the late Father Gabriel Amorth, Rome's former chief exorcist, what parents should teach their children about Satan, here's the answer. Here's what she says. When I interviewed Father Amorth about this and asked this question, what should parents teach kids about Satan? He said, teach children all about God. Then tell them there's a choice that only they can make: to spend eternity with God who loves them, or Satan who doesn't. And I'm going to just share with you some more responses of people that weighed in on that comment. But the point's well taken. Here's the point that I think Father Amorth is saying is, number one, he's saying, like, once again, it's we just have to keep this in perspective, is that Catholic Christianity is Christ-centered. It's not demon-centered. It's not Satan-centered. Okay, Satan's a loser, and he already knows that his days are numbered, and he knows where he's going to end his days, sealed in hell and tortured and tormented. And the fact is, we know that Christ, not only did he redeem us on the cross, but we know his victory is already pronounced in divine revelation and Holy Scripture. This is the only thing we're waiting for. Three things have happened. Christ has died. Check that one off. Christ has risen. Check that one off. Christ will come again. That's the only thing we're waiting for. So two out of the three great events regarding the person of Jesus Christ have already happened. So again, the question, how should teachers or parents talk to their kids about the devil? This one Catholic weighed in on social media. He said, Mr. Justin Van Lee, he says, I discussed him just the other day in class. The kids need to know about his wily tricks, the most common of which is trying to convince us that sin is preferable to virtue. My students know that Satan can only lie and Christ can only tell the truth. So the choice of whom to follow is clear. Here's another person who tweeted, named Michael. He says, I would point the kids to St. John Bosco and how he made sure to tell his boys about his vision of hell. You could watch it on YouTube. It's called To Hell and Back, The Vision of St. John Bosco. And again, St. John Bosco, he took a journey, apparently to hell, and came back. And he would tell young boys about his vision of hell. I'm looking at another tweet here. There's a highway, looks like probably some Texas highway, Arizona highway. And there's a big old billboard that says, hell is real. Okay. Well, that's another way to let young people know. Hell is real. Big old billboard on the highway. God bless whoever put that up there. Somebody else tweeted. They said, in the rite of infant baptism, the parents are asked, do you reject Satan? Or the adults being baptized, he's asked, do you reject Satan? So the catechumens or the parents of a baptized infant are specifically told about Satan and that they have to reject him. And let's not forget that Jesus is 40 days in the desert, when at the end of his 40 days or during his 40 days, he was also confronted by the devil. And so the fact of the matter is, this is just part of divine revelation. This is just part of Catholic teaching. It's not something to be afraid of. It's just the consequences of living in a fallen world. Now, another teacher I'm here seeing a tweet says, one word, yes, we should teach our kids about the devil, but teachers should be aware of developmental level, especially with elementary school kids. Well taken. Good point. Well taken. Yeah, I agree. I think the kids have to know about the problem of evil and the fact that there is evil out there. But again, we have to also be use some common sense and realize that some kids are just not ready to get the full orb teaching on Satan and his fall. I'll tell you what's more critical than anything else. What's more critical is teaching our kids how to enter into a relationship with Almighty God through prayer and the sacraments in the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is the one true church established by Jesus Christ. And this is what happens. A child who never enters into a relationship with Jesus Christ through the sacraments and through the Catholic Church, and he has no prayer life, now they become fascinated with the esoteric. They become fascinated with the occult, with the preternatural. Because when you have a relationship, when you teach your kids to have a relationship with God, and especially through a life of prayer and through the sacraments in the Catholic Church, here's what happens. You're teaching your kids to have internal order through a life of prayer and faith. And if a child doesn't have internal order in his life, he's going to manifest external disorder. In other words, he's going to manifest a life of lawlessness and sin. And I can tell you, for everybody out there raising kids, I'll tell you what's more important than anything else. We have to teach our kids about the virtues, about a life of holiness. You probably realize that the Bible calls demons many times in the Gospels unclean spirits. Unclean spirits. Okay. So what do these unclean spirits look for? They look for unclean persons. So if we teach our kids and we ourselves, if we live a life of purity, internal and external purity, guess what? We're not attractive to a demon. Demons are not attracted to clean people. They're attracted to unclean people. And so let's teach our kids moral excellence, good habits, what we call a life of virtue. Look at what St. Paul says about virtue in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. He says, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Put on love, that is, the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ control your hearts and be thankful. Amen. We got to give our kids holy teaching as well. In Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as in all wisdom you teach and admonish one another, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." And also, as the Catholic man, we're called to imitate Saint Joseph. We're called to imitate Saint Joseph. And what does that mean? We're called to lead, protect, and provide for our kids, physically and spiritually. I'll say it again. We're called to lead, protect, and provide for our kids. We're called to do that spiritually, and we're called to do that physically. And again, Father Amorth, rest in peace. What he's saying is that when you're teaching your kids about the diabolical or the devil, we need to emphasize more on the majesty of God, on Almighty God, okay? Satan is just a PS. He's just a postscript in Christianity, okay? He's just, just kind of a footnote, okay? He's not the center of Christianity. God, the Trinity, is the center. And so St. John Paul II once said, he said, "We don't have to learn about all the errors of all these religions." He says, "Just learn the truth about the Catholic faith, and then you'll be able to unmask, or you'll be able to discern when you hear something that's wrong." So let's teach our kids about God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to have a relationship with God, and they'll be able to discern that anything outside of God is wrong or evil. Hey, Jesus 911, don't change that dial. Stick around. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Jesse Romero. Join me on a pilgrimage of faith and discovery to Poland for the 100th year anniversary of the birth of St. John Paul II in May of 2020. Together we'll experience the faith, beauty, and culture of Poland and become imbibed with the spirit of John Paul II. We'll visit the town of Wadowice, where John Paul was born, and the city of Krakow, where he was ordained and later became bishop. We'll also travel to Jasna Góra and visit Our Lady of Częstochowa, and we'll have a chance to venerate the original image of the Merciful Jesus at St. Faustina's Convent and the city that St. Maximilian Kolbe built for the Immaculata. Finally, we'll pay a visit to Auschwitz, where St. Maximilian Kolbe was martyred. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to worship and discover your own faith at places where St. John Paul II grew in his own love for our Lord. For more information or how to join this pilgrimage, visit my website at jesseromero.com.
Jesus said in Matthew 26, "Stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation." According to St. Ephrem, Jesus, who feared nothing, experienced fear and asked to be freed from death, although he knew it was impossible. How much more must we persevere in prayer before temptation assails us, so that we may be freed when the test has come? May God grant that we may withstand temptation and carry out His will in all things.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. I'm a one-man car. We call that a king car in police work. I'm out there on Soul Patrol trying to help people love God, save souls, and slay error. Many exorcists in the Catholic Church, thanks be to God, are warning us against these children's books, which are teaching kids how to summon evil spirits. Yep. There's a book called A Children's Book of Demons. Can you believe that? By Aaron Layton. What kind of a knucklehead would write something like this? I'm serious. With all due respect, I guess I just lost it. You guys just saw my concupiscence on air, okay? What kind of an individual would write something like this? Without a doubt, this is like this is spiritual poison. Keep this away from your children. So what do we know about Aaron Layton, this author? Well, he's an occultist. He practices the occult. He wrote a book called The Children's Book of Demons, which teaches kids how to summon demons. Can you believe that? Imagine being his family member or being his neighbor. Wonder where this guy's mind's at. He's probably what I would call it perfectly possessed. For somebody to do something like this, perfect possession is where somebody subjugates their will entirely to the diabolical. And they can operate normally, you know, their head's not going to spin, they're not going to spit, you know, vomit avocado, you know. There's no manifestations for somebody who's perfectly possessed. Those are people that make a complete pact with the devil, and what they do is they surrender their will to Satan. That's the only way I can see somebody like this writing a book like this. So unfortunately, this Child's Book of Demons, it's being sold by major retailers, Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, and they're targeting 5 to 10 year olds. It also has coloring pages for drawing sigils to summon demons. Sigils are like a phone number to summon a demon, okay? It's the same basically way of saying it. That's what it's a demonic symbol to summon a demon. And here's the way Amazon describes the books. You know, Amazon's just all about money, obviously. It says, don't want to take out the trash tonight? Maybe you're swimming in homework? Perhaps that big bully's being a real drag. Well, grab your color pencils and sigil drawing skills and dial up some demons. There it goes, dial up, okay? Sigils are like a phone number to dial up a demon. This paranormal parody is filled to the brim with funny spirits more silly than scary. However, Catholic exorcists are warning that this book is not silly at all, okay? The International Association of Exorcists released a statement last month addressing the children's book, and they said, you don't want to mess around with demons. Whoever invites a child to summon a demon is like a person who puts a grenade in their hands to play with. Okay? Sooner or later, the child will pull the pin and the bomb will explode in their hands. And the International Association of Exorcists, they also said, whoever invites a child to summon a demon is telling them that it's possible to get help from a criminal to get something and causes them to lose their identity and to be morally, psychologically, and spiritually destroyed. And the president of the International Association of Exorcists, Father Francesco Bamonti, he signed a statement. He said that Layton's book dangerously normalizes Satanism by tricking children into thinking the occult is a game, and that eventually leads children to devil worship. Father Francesco Bamonti, the president of the International Association of Exorcists, says, it goes so far as to affirm that if the devil worship is limited to the simple celebration of the devil, and those who practice it do not commit crimes, there's nothing wrong. But the exorcist warns, he says, whoever invites a child to invoke demons is inviting and preparing them to be unhappy. They do not present the demons for what they really are, this author. Good angels who voluntarily become evil, enemies of God and of humanity, in the end, definitively separating us from God and leading us into eternal perdition and endless suffering. And Father also quotes Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, where it says, here perhaps more than anywhere else, the words of our Lord are valid. Whoever causes one of these little ones, children, who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. All I can say is, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. As parents and as teachers, especially Catholic school teachers, we're called to teach our kids the difference between what's clean and unclean. We're called to teach our kids, especially in literature, we're called to teach our kids the difference between pious and impious literature, reverent and irreverent literature, sacred and profane literature. And let's just be honest. This book, written by this occultist, I mean, that's what he is. He's an occultist. This is the guy that's practicing the black arts, Satanism, witchcraft. This book, a children's book of demons. It just boggles my mind how anybody could allow their kids to read something like this. This is absolute garbage. And let me tell you something. The Bible says in Wisdom chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, "For the fascination of wickedness obscures what is good, and roving desires pervert the innocent mind." This is the word of God. Wisdom chapter 4, verse 12. Look at what it tells us. Quote, "For the fascination of wickedness obscures what is good, and roving desires pervert the innocent mind." Here's another verse that talks to you about guarding your mind from bad thoughts or bad music or bad literature. It's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." I think when St. Paul was writing this, he wasn't thinking about a children's book of demons to cast spells. The Bible's very clear. Our children, our Catholic children, should be trained to respect those who do not profess their faith, but we also should be teaching them that the practice of magic or witchcraft or casting spells, this is a serious sin. And, C.S. Lewis, he said, "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about, the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence, and the other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased with both errors and hail a materialist or a magician with the same name." If we want our children to love truth and goodness and beauty, then why are we buying them products that encourage their tendencies towards what's grotesque? And of course, as a Catholic, the Bible's very clear. The Bible tells us to guard our mind. Guard our mind. The Bible tells us to renew our mind. And this book, written by this occultist, a children's book of demons, which again, the problem with it is everything. It teaches you to summon demons, to dial them up. And the catechism is very clear about this. In 2116 and 2117 of the catechism, it says this: "All forms of divination are to be rejected. Recourse to Satan or demons, consulting horoscopes, astrology, palm reading, interpretation of omens and lots, the phenomenon of clairvoyance and recourse to mediums contradict the honor, respect, and loving fear that we owe to God alone. All practices of magic or sorcery by which one attempts to tame occult powers," there it is, "by which one attempts to tame occult powers." This is what this book, A Children's Book of Demons, by Aaron Layton, specifically teaches our young people. It teaches our young people to attempt to tame occult preternatural powers. The catechism says, "so as to place them at one's service and have a supernatural power over others are gravely contrary to the virtue of religion. These practices are even more to be condemned when accompanied by the intention of harming someone, or when they have recourse to the intervention of demons." This is paragraph 2117. I mean, here's what's sad, is that most Catholic teenagers believe in ghosts, or should I say they believe more in ghosts than they believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ. There was a study that was done back in 1994 asking Catholic teens, what do you believe in? 58% of Catholic teens say they believe in astrology. 43% of Catholic teens say they believe in witchcraft. Or 24% of Catholic teens say they believe in witchcraft. And 6% of Catholic teens say they believe in vampires. Keep in mind that less than 30% of American Catholic teenagers believe in the Eucharist that is more than being they believe that it's nothing but a mere symbol, about 30% of them. So studies show that our young teenage Catholics have more belief in astrology and ghosts than they do in the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. I'll tell you from the Bible why this book, again, a children's book of demons, which teaches young kid, it's got coloring pages, and it also has a section on how to call demons, how to conjure up demons by dialing them up. It's written by Andrew Layton. Keep your children away from this garbage. This garbage should be burned. This is impious literature. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9 and 12, here's what the Holy Bible says. God tells us, when you come into the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who practices divination, a soothsayer, or an augur, or a sorcerer, or a charmer, or a medium, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominable practices, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. What kind of distortion will do the more damage? Blatant falsehood or falsehood mixed with the truth that we hunger for? Okay? The fact is that this book, I would just put it under the category of blatant falsehood, a children's book of demons. This book is not a book that's mixed with, some good stuff and some bad stuff. The fact is, this is just plain evil. And it just goes to show you that there's a rise in Satanism, especially targeting America's youth. That's just a fact that we have to, that's what we have to deal with. And scripture tells us that at the end of time, towards the end of the ages, before the second coming of Christ, there's going to be an acceleration of evil as has never been seen before. And I think that we're seeing that right now on a massive scale. False Christ, false prophets, false teachers, false doctrines, and Satanism on the rise. Stick around. Don't turn that dial.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoramus Society. Adoramus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies, featuring speakers Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Carstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now at 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoramus at the Triduum.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber.
Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. One of the things that we'll proclaim here from the rooftops until the second coming of Christ is that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And no matter what happens, if you're in a state of grace, if you're united with Christ, all things will be well at the end, okay? Everything, we win when it's all said and done. Make sure you're a part of Team Jesus. There are a lot of good Catholics that are fighting back. There's a lot of good organizations cropping up fighting back. There's one organization by Dr. John Horvat. The organization's called Return to Order. And he's actually started a sub-organization called the St. Michael Sword. Let me tell you what he says. Basically, Return to Order, this little subgroup within Return to Order called St. Michael Sword, was started by Dr. John Horvat, he's a friend of the show, to help Catholics fight against Satanism. Because we know that there's Satanism is becoming very mainstream. And I thought that I'd never live to see Satanism become mainstream. I thought that that would never happen in my lifetime, but it has. And if you don't believe it has, the relentless attacks from Satan include children as young as 5 years old exposed to Satan clubs opening in elementary schools across the nation. Or how about attempts to put a statue of Satan in the Arkansas State Capitol grounds and other state capitals? How about popular TV shows with evil satanic themes? How about black masses at public tax-funded centers in different cities around the country and even in some colleges and universities? And what about satanic prayers officially starting off city council meetings in Florida, Alaska, Colorado, and other places? You see it, and I know you want to fight it. And Satan is relentless, and we must be relentless in our defense. That's why Return to Order, Dr. Horvat, he's designed a new program of spiritual warfare for Catholics. It's called St. Michael's Sword. Now, if you want to become a member, all you got to do is go to returntoorder.com, returntoorder.com. And what he does, every day he gives you a tip about how to fight the diabolical. And he also prepares people for the new attacks from the Satanists. It's called the St. Michael Sword. And the St. Michael Sword is part of returntoorder.com. You join up and you tithe monthly. And this, it's a Catholic group that's marshaling their energies together, spiritual and physical, to fight against the diabolical, because sadly enough, the satanic movement has been gaining ground. And you've probably noticed how many times we've had to tell people about the latest satanic attacks. And tragically, many religious and civic leaders do nothing to stop Satan, because the war of political correctness is making good people do nothing. But you don't have to be politically correct. You can help fight evil at its source, and you can have an impact. If you become a member of the St. Michael's Sword, it's a very effective way to oppose Satan. And Dr. Horvath says that when you join this organization, the St. Michael's Sword, you'll experience about 6 benefits. He says you'll participate in the prayers and merits of the Return to Order frontline volunteers who oppose Satanism at rallies and prayer vigils. Number 2, you'll share in their victory, sufferings, and hardships as they face hatred, verbal abuse, and sometimes physical attacks. Number 3, you'll receive comfort in knowing that your monthly gift allows Return to Order to respond to each city and state where satanic attacks are happening. Yeah, it could be. This group sends out people to go pray when the Satanists are doing something in public. So it's always return to order that sends Catholics out there to go combat them with rosaries and with the power of prayer. Number four, you'll know the peace of spirit that your support gives courage to many people and support people who feel helpless by the advance of Satanism. And five, you'll gladden your guardian angels and all the angels who watch over this land as they see your generosity in action to keep America one nation under God. And six, you'll be remembered in the daily prayers of every member of St. Michael's Sword across the country. So those are some of the benefits of being part of the St. Michael's Sword. You also get a beautiful free screensaver with a magnificent full-color image of St. Michael the Archangel, which will remind you every day of your participation in this great spiritual battle against Satan. You also get a free St. Michael chaplet and medal for spiritual protection. It's not blessed, get it blessed by a priest. And you get daily prayers into your phone for all the members of the St. Michael Sword. So, as I said, this is done by Dr. Horvat, returntoorder.com. And your gift, it helps return to order month after month to oppose the radical advances of Satanism around the country, especially in schools and public property. And more importantly, you'll be able to conveniently join every spiritual fight every spiritual month because they're gonna keep you apprised. They're going to tell you, hey, Satanists are trying to put a statue over here. Hey, Satanists are trying to have a black mass over there. So you're going to be up to date on everything so you can just take out your rosary wherever you're at and start praying. And again, you don't have to worry because your donation will be safely and automatically deducted each month if you decide to join the St. Michael Sword. And if you need to change at any time, that's totally up to you. You have complete convenience and you're always in control. But St. Michael's Sword is urgently needed. In a few short years, a small minority of Satanists have achieved what many of us thought impossible. I scratch my head, and when I see the acceptance of Satan clubs in elementary schools, what? Satanic prayers publicly offered at town council meetings, what? Satanic coloring books for children distributed in public schools? And the attempts to raise Satan monuments on state property? How did all this happen so suddenly? I'll tell you why. Because Satan strikes at every opportunity. And because most decent folks, we did nothing. But a lot of you are different. A lot of you really have that militant church militant attitude. And so we know that you reject Satan and you want to do something. You actually care. Well, that's why, again, Dr. Horvath's inviting people to join the St. Michael's Sword by going to returntoorder.com. Because you can be part of a growing resistance of fervent Catholic prayer warriors and take effective action against the evil one. And please believe me when I tell you that you're not alone in this fight against the devil. Okay? Just like you, there's a lot of Catholics around the country who have joined Return to Order volunteers because they believe in the ultimate victory. We believe in the ultimate victory of God over Satan. But God wants foot soldiers to do his work. And St. Michael's spiritual troops are the foot soldiers. And that's why we proclaim God and oppose Satan across the country. I'll tell you what St. Michael's Sword did quite recently. And they're part of returntoorder.com, Dr. Michael John Horvath's group. They opposed the satanic black mass at Harvard University, and guess what? They went out there in droves, and it was canceled. And the Satanists packed up and went elsewhere, thank God. But the fight's certainly not over, and we have our work cut out for us. Our mission is to promote a God-centered society and oppose Satan, and you can help us do this. Since you probably can't put your life on hold to join people on the streets as a frontline volunteer, the next best thing you can join the St. Michael's Sword. You can be a long-distance crusader in this great battle to save America, helping good Catholics hit the streets out there with the rosaries and the divine mercies and out there and going out there and praying and facing off against these Satanists. So, Dr. Horvath's a good friend of the show. Return to Order. It's a solid Catholic organization. And the St. Michael's Sword, you could join up with just a small monthly gift. And these people are making an impact. These are solid Catholics. And all of us as Catholics should want to fight Satan each and every day. And with St. Michael's help, and his support, we will fight and God will win. It's already been decreed. So what can I tell you? Hey, keep on fighting the good fight of faith and don't give up. Okay? Don't stop. But once again, the fact is that Scripture tells us that before the second coming of Christ, there will be an acceleration of evil, such as there's never been seen before in the world. We see right now false Christs, false prophets, false teachers, false doctrines, even penetrating our Holy Mother Church. I mean, who would have thought 20, 50 years ago that a Pachamama idol would be brought into the Vatican and would be, you'd have bishops writing prayers to this earth goddess, earth demon goddess. And a Catholic priest a few feet away from the Pope would be falling prostrate in front of this. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that the German bishops would have lost their, they just lost their orthodox sensibilities and are just now promoting things that the Bible clearly calls mortal sin? Who would have thought that we'd have a Jesuit priest flying around the country saying that the catechism's wrong about homosexuality and we've got to change the Bible verses on homosexuality? Let me tell you something. Our ancient foe, Satan, he's behind these hideous doctrines, and he's also behind these people. He uses people to promote his cause. And so, as Catholics, especially here in Jesus 911, we're just putting the spotlight of truth upon this culture of death. And the way we see ourselves here in Jesus 911, we're like a lighthouse amidst a gathering storm. And what can we do as Catholics? We can pray America great again. Did you catch that? Pray America great again. How do we fight against Satanism? Become a saint. We're called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity. Faith is what gets you started. Hope is what keeps you going. Love is what brings you to the end. And where most people, where most men work for degrees after their names, we work for one degree before our name. That's called ST. It's a much more difficult degree to attain. It takes a lifetime. And you don't get your diploma until you're dead. If you're breathing and you've got two legs, guess what? You're called to holiness. We'll continue with Jesus 911. Stick around. Don't change that dial. I'm going to end with some spiritual warfare prayers.
Hello, this is Terry Barber with the Terry and Jesse Show. I'm here with Gil Olivetti. He is the president of the Catholic Men's Fellowship of California. Gil, we got a men's conference coming up.
I appreciate you having me on, Terry, to share about our Rise Up, O Men of God, The Church for You Does Wait, Super Saturday Conference, and it's Saturday, March 28th in Covina at Sacred Heart Catholic Church, 344 West Workman Street in Covina, California.
Who are the speakers?
We have some great speakers lined up. We have Steve Ruta, former captain of the LA Fire Department. He's dynamic. Mm-hmm. He's energetic. He will really keep the conference moving. We have Monsignor Tim Nichols, the pastor from St. John Vianney's.
Oh, yeah,
he's dynamic. Mark McElrath, Father Darren Merlino, a trained exorcist. Charlie Eshelman, a past Navy SEAL. We have Deacon Omar Uriati, who is from our parish, St. Louis de Marillac, and Father Joseph Shea.
And I'll be there myself, giving a little plug for Virgin Most Powerful.
You can reach us at catholicmen.org. Tickets are on sale there. Just follow the link. Tickets are on sale at eventbrite.com. Just be sure to get your tickets now till the 31st for $35 and $45 after that till the day of the conference.
Sign up for this men's conference. Call Gil at 626-841-9090.
I'll be sure to answer your call and give you all the information you need for the Rise Up, O Men of God, for you, the Church Does Wait conference. Thank you, Terry. Appreciate your help.
God bless you.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber.
Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, one-man car. We call that a king car. Eddie's out doing some apostolic work. This is Friday. I want to end the week on a high note. I just want to pray some of my favorite spiritual warfare prayers for the last segment. And just pray on behalf of everybody out there, for myself and everybody else out there. If you've never heard the long form St. Michael the Archangel prayer, the one that's approved for Catholics to read and to pray, here it is. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O glorious Prince of the Heavenly Host, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in the battle and in the fearful warfare that we're waging against the principalities and powers, against the rulers of this world of darkness, against the evil spirits. Come thou to the assistance of men, whom Almighty God created immortal, making them in his own image and likeness, and redeeming them at a great price from the tyranny of Satan. Fight this day the battle of the Lord with thy legions of holy angels, even as of old thou didst fight against Lucifer, the leader of the proud spirits, and all his rebel angels, who were powerless to stand against thee. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And that apostate angel, transformed into an angel of darkness, who still creeps about the earth to encompass our ruins, was cast headlong into the abyss together with his followers. But behold, that first enemy of mankind and a murderer from the beginning has regained his confidence, changing himself into an angel of light. He goes about with the whole multitude of the wicked spirits to invade the earth and blot out the name of God and of his Christ, to plunder, to slay, and to consign to eternal damnation the souls that have been destined for a crown of everlasting life. This wicked serpent, like an unclean torrent, pours into men of depraved minds and corrupt hearts the poison of his malice, the spirit of lying, impiety, and blasphemy, and the deadly breath of impurity in every form of vice and iniquity. These crafty enemies of mankind have filled to overflowing with gall and wormwood the church, which is the bride of the Lamb without spot. They have laid profane hands upon her most sacred treasures. Make haste, therefore, O invincible Prince, to help the people of God against the inroads of the lost spirits and grant us the victory. Amen. Here's another one of my favorite prayers, deliverance prayers. It's called the Anima Christi. That's another deliverance prayers. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within your wounds, hide me. Separated from you, let me never be. From the evil one, protect me. At the hour of my death, call me. And close to you, keep me, that with your saints and angels, I may be praising you forever and ever. Amen. Another spiritual warfare prayer is the exorcism prayer by St. Anthony. You take a crucifix, you hold it, you look at it, and you say, behold the cross of the Lord, be gone all evil powers. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered you. Amen, alleluia, amen. Another spiritual warfare prayer, Psalm 91. This is actually the Jewish preferred prayer of exorcism over the possessed, Psalm 91. So I'll pray it. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night or the arrow that flies by day or the pestilence that stalks in darkness or the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On your hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent. You will trample underfoot. Those who love me I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. Amen. That's Psalm 91. That's probably the most popular exorcism prayer taught to us by the Jewish rabbis. That's what they prayed, and that's what they used as well. And so it's probably was started by King Solomon. For all we know, that's what tradition says. It may have started with him. Another thing that protects you against the diabolical is a prayer called the Te Deum. The Te Deum. It means to God. This prayer is a prayer of protection, and it drives away demons, because the demons, who were good angels once upon a time, they used to pray the Te Deum to God. And so when they hear the Te Deum, it gives them what theologians call the pain of sense. The pain of sense. In other words, they realize that once upon a time, they prayed this before the throne of God, and now they can't. And now they've been banished. They will never feel the fatherly protection of God. They will never feel his presence, his love. They will never have a relationship with God, and they will never be able to praise God in his presence before his throne. And so there's a jealousy when the demons hear this, the Te Deum, and it causes them pain, because it reminds them of what they lost, that once upon a time they were able to say these prayers, and now they have lost that relationship with God, which is goodness, beauty, and truth for all eternity. So here's the Te Deum, which hurts demons when you pray this. You are God, we praise you. You are the Lord, we acclaim you. You are the eternal Father, all creation worships you. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim sing in endless praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of apostles praise you. The noble fellowship of martyrs praise you. The white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the Holy Church acclaims you, Father of majesty unbounded, your true and only Son, worthy of all worship, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. When you became man to set us free, you did not spurn the virgin's womb. You overcame the sting of death and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come and be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people, brought with the price of your own blood, and bring us with your saints to glory everlasting. Amen. Another powerful prayer against the diabolical is the Our Father. Notice the Our Father. Jesus teaches us to pray to God the Father to give us his daily bread. What's the reference of the daily bread? It's the Holy Eucharist. And what's the Holy Eucharist supposed to do? It's supposed to deliver us from evil, which the actual Greek says, deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. So I'll say that prayer. It's an exorcism prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Another prayer that historically has been known to drive out demons. I know at least two saints that have said that. St. Francis de Sales and Blessed Bartolo Longo said that the Memorare is a prayer that drives away demons if a person's spiritually afflicted. St. Francis de Sales had had started hanging around some bad people in college, people that were involved in the occult and probably witchcraft and Satanism. And he felt that he was spiritually afflicted by a demon. He was a young man. He goes and talks to a holy priest. The holy priest gives him the miraculous medal, says, put this around your neck, go inside the church, and kneel in front of an image of Our Lady and pray the Memorare. He said he prayed the Memorare with the miraculous medal around his neck. He said, and he felt a demon. He felt an evil spirit leave his body. And now we call him Saint Francis de Sales. Okay? That prayer goes like this. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy, hear us and answer us. Amen. Here's another, it's a small prayer. It was written, this is one of the oldest prayers to Mary. It's called the Subtuum Presidium. It was written back in the 2nd or 3rd century in Egypt. And that's a prayer of protection, calling the Blessed Virgin Mary to protect us from the diabolical. It says this: we fly to thy protection, O Mother of God. Despise not our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Amen. Two other prayers that I'm not going to have a chance to deploy here because time's almost up. There's a prayer, it's pretty long, it's called the St. Patrick's Breastplate Prayer. That's a prayer to protect yourself from witchcraft and from spells and from curses and hexes. It's called the St. Patrick's Prayer, Breastplate Prayer. St. Patrick, he was an exorcist back in the 4th century in Ireland. He wrote that prayer. And I pray that every couple of days. I pray it for myself, and also I pray it in behalf of President Trump, because I know there's an organized group of witches that are placing curses on him like once a month. And so it's a binding prayer to stop the curses from having an effect. And another prayer that's very powerful in spiritual warfare is called the Litany of Humility. The Litany of Humility. You've probably, if you never heard it, you can get it on the internet. Put it on your iPhone. It's also Friday's prayers. For those of you that pray the Exilium Christianorum on Fridays, it's today's prayer. And again, St. Anthony of Padua said the only thing that the demon fears is charity and humility. And St. Climacus says the only virtue that a demon cannot imitate is the virtue of humility. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's a wrap. Jesus 911, one man car. I'm going 10-7 out of service in a couple of minutes. I'm going to be, I'll be 10-8 on Monday with my partner. But have a great weekend. Have a blessed weekend. And remember, St. Padre Pio says, pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry's useless. God is merciful, and God will hear your prayer. And remember, pray America great again. God bless you. God love you. Keep the faith.
Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.